Mrs. Reynolds, Reel 2.
With her, you know. So he never wrote. No, I never saw him no more till 1919. The war had ended. I'd come out of the, like, you know, where we was all thrown out. And I started up on my own. And the girl wanted some, we used to wear the, well, more like, what, you know, with the lace and the ribbon through, what's come up again now, you know. And she wanted lavender ribbon. I thought, now, where am I going to get, because you couldn't get, I think, no more than you could after this one. I thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll have a run down to Jones and Higgins if I'm going to get it. And as I got out the bus, wasn't it funny, my husband's, well, he wasn't my husband, standing there in his car key. He'd gone down to Thomas Tillings, the old bus people, to see if he could get his job back. Now, wasn't that fate? And I was going out with a smashy man at the time. Plenty of money and all, but, of course, you know, he pessimist, I married him. Of course, I'd had a lot of trouble in between. I'd lost my dad and all that. You know, when you're in trouble, you don't know what to do. Well, now, that was that. Yes, now, I think our wages was about 30 shillings, 5 shillings bonus, and I think it was 5 shillings for, what's the name? Well, then, of course, they kept saying, oh, why don't you come down to Woolwich Arsenal? You'll get plenty of money down there. Well, of course, over 21, they was earning good money, but, of course, I was only, I might have been just about 18 then, but, of course, we didn't know that. So, of course, the crowd of us all went down to Woolwich. Well, when we got in there, because all the fitters, like, it was a great big machine shop. Well, it was, that's when I went there. That's, we were in what they called CF5, that's Cartridge Factory 5, that was like making bullets, you know. And, of course, all the men in there, none of them had been to the war. See? They were all like civvies. And, of course, all earning pretty good money as regards to money in those times, you know. Of course, when all us kids walked in with our bright yellow faces, you know, they said, where you been? I said, mind your own business. I said, why aren't you in the war? You know, oh, you know, sending them all out to the war, you know. Anyhow, we wasn't, well, then from there, we used to work 12 hours, from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, 7 at night to 7 in the morning. Always.
Sometimes you had to do in the day and sometimes at night?
Yes, we used to do, I think it was about, we used to do 13 days out of 14. You do 13 days like 7 to 7, and then you'd have one day off, that's all, and then from like the night time, 7 at night to 7 in the morning. That's what we used to do there, very hard that was there. Well, it wasn't so much hard, it was the long hours. And all our roofs, like, I don't know about the other factories, but in CF5 where I worked, it was all glass. So every night they used to come round and put like little oil lamps. Because as soon as, because they never used to have the air raids then like they have now, see. But sometimes they get as far as the coast, see. Well, of course, as I say, they never had the swiftness like they didn't. And so they used to turn them back. But we always got the warning, see. So as soon as they had the warning, they used to plunge us in darkness. And all these little oil lamps were alight every night, so that you could just wind your way out, like, in the darkness, like, you could just see, like, black figures running out of the factory, you know what I mean, see, because they was afraid of this glass, see. And the head one there was Lillian Barker, which I'm not saying very good English, am I, love?
Is yeah, it's fine.
Can you, I suppose, yes. You can make it up. At the head one there was Lillian Barker, and I think later on she was the head, you might be able to find out, she was the head of one of our women's prisons. Good while after the war. Oh, God, I don't suppose she's alive now because she was a woman like then, you know, but I remember like seeing, and I'm sure she was one of those. I don't know is there a prison at Aylesbury Prison? Well, anyhow,
sure.
I think she was made that. The head, but and she was strict, but she was a good woman. Because there was a lot of girls pregnant there, like, because, you know, the Arsenal's a massive great place, you know. And a lot of these poor kids came from up north, you know, and, you know, they were more simple Simons. She was ever so good to them. And I know she came round our, or sent word round our factory to ask us if we'd all give her a shilling or something, and we all refused, because, you know, we thought it was disgusting for girls to be pregnant in those times. So she stopped our sugar rations. I think she was giving everyone in the factory a pound or 2 pounds of sugar at Christmas, you know what I mean? And because we refused to give her the shilling, we never got none. But she was very, very honest and very good. And she used to say to us girls, she used to come round sometimes. She used to say, and if any girls were making up, she'd say, take that stuff off, you know, use a drop of soap and water. She used to say, because some of the, I never used to because I was always ugly, you know, but some of the girls were quite pretty and they used to dolt and so on. So she used to say to us, now, if ever you go in the canteen and they're profiteering, now you come straight to me. So we all flew up in the canteen one night, you know, and they had all saucers on, you know, like on the buffer, you know. Tuppence a saucer, and I thought it was golden syrup. Well, you know, you could get a big tin of syrup for about sixpence. So I said, because I was always the ringleader, I said, I'm not paying tuppence for that. I said, I'm going to take that over to Lillian Barker, show them that they're profiteering, you know. So over I went with my saucer, like, after I'd had my dinner. This is about 12 o'clock at night. And you couldn't get into a hut, you know, there was a chap outside. So he said, what do you want? I said, I want to see Lillian Barker, or Lady Barker, some name I called her. And it's right, so she gave me an interview, and you know, I went in, so I said, what do you want, you know, just like this. So I said, Lady Barker, I said, they're charging tuppence for this over the canteen. She said, well, what about it? I said, tuppence, I said, for this? She said, well, what's it supposed to be? I said, it's golden syrup. Go out of it, you idiot, she said, that's honey. So it wasn't dear for tuppence, really, you know, but... And there was a kid, a young girl there, she was about 19, little. Now, she was married, and her husband was missing. He hadn't been out there 5 minutes. Now. Well, us two, because she didn't care, neither did I, because I had a lovely dad behind me, he said to me, girl, never let anyone take it out of you while you've got your father, mate, because you'll never go short of a shilling. You know, it was good, my dad. So we were always up in the office with complaints. So when we used to go up there, there'd be about six men sitting... Because we was all numbered, you know, like a soldier. They never used to ask us, and they'd get the book, you know, 29, so they knew our numbers straight away. Anyhow, and then it come right down to nothing almost, about a pound, I think, as far as I can remember. It was very, very low, I know.
Your wages?
Yes, very low. And, of course, we all started kicking up a shindy, you see, so... The men, because they were already in the union, see, us women wasn't in the union. So, I know they stopped all the machinery, and one bloke stood up on a wooden box, and he said, look, girls, he said, until you get into a union, you'll never get your wages right. So, of course, we all joined the workers' union, see. And our money went up from, I should think, well, as far as I can remember, it went up quite a bit. I think it went up about another 30 shillings. I think it was about £2.10, which was a lot of money then, you know. Though, as I say, we'd wait to work 12 hours a day. Well, of course, a lot of the girls wanted to put me and this young kid, like, as shop stewards, because we were the two that used to fight for them all. But, of course, some of the older ones, they said, oh, they said, they ain't been here 5 minutes, see, so we refused to go out and fight any battles for them out there. I said, well, if, you know, you want to do the work, you do it. Because we didn't mind at all, you know. As I say, she had her army pay, and I had a good dad behind me that we didn't mind. Well, in any case, they wouldn't have sacked us because they could... Well, I don't say they couldn't get them, but they was out for everybody that they could... see what I mean, love? And one night there, well, we always used to like the warnings to go off before 10 o'clock because Bedford Square used to be full of soldiers, you know. We used to have a good old... Nothing wrong, no. Well, in those times, they didn't do nothing wrong like they do now, do they? But, of course, if we used to run down to... We used to work at Plumstead Bridge, you see. But if we used to run down to Bedford Square, of course, it used to be alive with soldiers. And, of course, us in our khaki, all. We was the centre of attraction, you can bet your life. They say, come here, kids, you know, let's have a look at your new trousers, you know. And, oh, we used to toss our old head up and, you know, think we were the cat's whiskers, you know. Yes, now what else can I tell you?
What did your job involve?
Well, in the... making bullets, darling.
Yes.
We used to have as far as I can remember, trays with all holes in, and the bullets was put upside down, like, how can I, you know what I mean? Look, this was like a pointed bullets like that, isn't it?
Yes.
See, well, that point used to go in, so the top was empty. So then we used to have, like, big tables with all these bits of lead in, but one end was just slightly bigger than the others, so we used to have to scoop them out with our hands and, like, put them all in these, see, and then I don't know what... Then I think they used to go to the machines, because there was all machines, and I suppose they used to stamp a little thing on the bottom, as far as I know. But that's what we used to have to do. Pick the little lead, bits of lead out and put them all in the thing. Yes. But, of course, we wasn't on piecework on that, you know, we... Well, like, we all had a standing wage there.
Yeah.
We all had a standing wage. Yes. And, of course, there was crowds of... of course, they never told us, but where our factory was, right facing was the hospital, you know. Oh, you could see them. I know one night there was a raid, and we were still on, like, day work. It wasn't 7 o'clock at night, so, of course, they all ran, and in the danger buildings, the girls all ran out, and there was a young girl there named Sissy Peters, only a kiddie. She was courting a sailor. And of course she'd left all... No, tell a lie. The girl that ran out... No, Sissy Peters came afterwards. The girl that ran out left all the powder in the oven. See, because she ran out like because the... And Sissy Peters, like, went on at night, on the night duty. Of course, she opened the door and it blew both her eyes out. Yes. But I don't... They did say that he was... the chap stood by, but of course, I don't know him. But, of course, they got up a big collection for her. But both her eyes were blown out, poor little devil. Yeah.
Were there other accidents?
Oh, crowds there, girl. But, of course, it was all ashed up, you see. I don't remember any at Slade's Green. Although we had all that TNT there. I don't remember any there. But oh, yes, because we were right facing the hospital. I remember one night about 6 ambulances come along. See, well, they wouldn't tell you because they'd be afraid people would leave, you see.
Did they ask you not to tell people that you knew about what was going on?
No. Nothing was said about that. No. Nothing like the Second War, you know, like the keep silent. No, nothing like that, love. No. Because I don't think they had any... those signposts removed or nothing like that in the foot, not like they did in the second, because they more or less thought we was going to be invaded in the second. Oh no, there was nothing like that. But that Lillian, but she was abrupt, all ever so abrupt. But she was a good woman. She was, you know, really. Well, what could I say? She was a proper leader, you know. I'm sure she was made a governor of one of the prisons. I don't know where I read it, but I thought, oh, that's that one that, you know, used to be in Woolwich Arsenal. Mm, yeah.
Did you keep working on bullets the whole time, or did they give you different jobs?
No, on bullets. All the time I was in the Arsenal, yes, I was on bullets the whole time there. And I was on, I tell you, these toffee apples in the slaves. Well, they used to call, what they used to call them? I don't know, I forget now. But the factory was called the Trench Warfare Filling Station. That's what they used to call our factory.
At Slade's Green.
Yeah. Oh, and the day when we had this terrific air, you know, when the boys took us out, you could see them on the other side of the river. They was being, you know, another big munition pack, and they was taking them all away. You know, but we had to lay there. Like there was no one to take us off. And I don't know if it was in that same raid, but one of our boys was shot down with our own gunfire. I don't know whether... He wasn't very old, because they wasn't very old. But I don't know whether the brother... I believe a few years ago I read about him, because he might be dead now, because he might be about 80 or more. But there was two brothers. I think their name was Salmon or some name like that. I saw it... Oh, not 10 years ago I saw it, and I thought, I bet that's the one that, you know, he was a big pot, you know, in the War Office or something. But this chap was shot down with our own... And do you know our girls was picking up bits of his plane for souvenir? He was still there, know what I mean? And the brother, because he had to run, like, he was on the other side of the river, and he had to run down a mile, 2 miles, to cross a river, cross a bridge before he could... He went mad when he come up, you know, to see these... Oh, what he called them, you know, picking up... I suppose they didn't mean no harm, you know, but, oh, he went out of his mind. Yes.
What was your father doing?
My dad, oh, he was only an ordinary carman, darling. He was...
Was he too old to join the...
Well, he was about 47, yes, and he suffered with asthma. But my eldest brother, he went to Cranmore, like. That's where I went in the Second War, to Cranmore. You know, where King Charles went the other, that's where they trained it, yes. He went there. And, because he was handsome, my eldest brother. And all the girls used to chase him, like, you know. Well, when he went down to Cranmore, one of our aeroplanes came down on this farmer's field, see. And, of course, my brother had to go and guard it, where the old farmer came out, see.